Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand, we're going to be looking at Lamentations 3 in just a moment, verses 15 through 25. This is our last message in the series, Good Grief. Next week, we're starting a new series called Brave, Living Fearlessly, so you'll not want to miss that. And don't forget, this Sunday morning, we're continuing our series, Relational Parasites. And so we encourage you to come out because this is one of the areas that as Christians, we find the most struggle in is in relationships. And some people are more difficult to love and get along with than others, amen? And as we point the fingers at others, some might be ourselves, amen? And so we encourage you to come on out on Sunday morning and be a part of this important series. Amen. We're looking at good grief tonight in the book of Lamentations, loss and learning, how to grieve with hope. And tonight's message is finding hope and healing. How many of you ever heard of Joni Erickson Tada? Anybody ever heard of her? Okay, a couple of you have. Well, she's an internationally known Christian author and radio show host whose ministry came out of her experience of deep loss. At 17 years old, Joni went to Chesapeake Bay with a group of friends just to have some summer fun, and that fateful day would change her life forever when she suffered a diving accident that paralyzed her from the neck down. But in the midst of the darkest valley of her life, she found hope and purpose, but she first had to go through the process of grieving. And she writes this, "When a broken neck ambushed my life and left me a quadriplegic, I felt as though God had smashed me underfoot like a cigarette. At night, I would trash my head on the pillow, hoping to break my neck at a higher level and end my misery. My paralysis was permanent, and inside, I died." Joni continues, "You don't have to be in a wheelchair to identify. You already know that sad situations sometimes just don't get better." Joni writes, "After weeks in bed, I got tired of being depressed, and I finally cried out, 'God, if I can't die, then please show me how to live.' It was just the prayer that God was waiting for. From then on, she would ask her sister to get her up out of bed, park her in a wheelchair in front of the Bible. Holding a mouth stick, Joni would flip this way and that, looking for answers, any answer in the Word of God. A friend and Christian counselor encouraged her to read Lamentations, especially chapter 3. You know, God has given us an entire book about grief to help give voice to the excruciating pain of loss that we experience and to help us find hope as we navigate the dark valley of grief and loss. The book of Lamentations is the story of Jeremiah and the people of Jerusalem, whose lives were suddenly turned upside down when the Babylonians invaded and destroyed their beloved city, their homes, and the temple. And they saw their loved ones, some of them killed, others carried away into exile. Their whole lives were torn apart. And Jeremiah tells and retells the tragic story of the destruction of Jerusalem in five laments or five songs of sorrow. And each one gives voice to the deep anguish that he and the people of Jerusalem were experiencing as they grieved this bitter and horrific loss in their life. Read with me, if you will, Lamentations 3. We're going to read verses 15 through 25. The scripture says, "He has filled me with bitterness and given me a bitter cup of sorrow to drink. He has made me chew on gravel. He has rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost." You ever felt that way? Like the bottom in your life just fell out? The rug was pulled out from under you? Verse 19, "The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease." Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. You know, the word lament means to cry out loud. It means to weep or to mourn. And as Joni Erickson read the words of Lamentations 3 that we just read, she exclaimed, "That's me." She was amazed to hear what she was feeling put into words to God, and to learn that God welcomes our laments. She would eventually learn, mainly through the book of Lamentations and Psalms, that nothing is more freeing than knowing that God understands when we are walking through that deep valley of pain and the bitterness that we feel and the anger that we feel even towards God. God understands. And Joni wrote this. She said, when we're in pain, God feels the sting in his chest. Our frustrations and questions do not fluster him. He knows all about them. He wrote the book on them. More astoundingly, he invites us to come and air our grievances before him. You know, we all experience grief in this life because we live in a world that is full of loss and pain. There is much to grieve, but our culture encourages us to put a smile on our face, suck it up, cover our pain, and pretend that everything is okay. Isn't that what our culture encourages? Amen. We say, "I'm fine," without even thinking about it when we're asked, "How are you doing?" And often we are just uncomfortable to show others our pain, just as they are uncomfortable to hear about it or to see it. But isn't it wonderful to know that there is a God who loves us and welcomes us, grief and all, when our feelings are raging within us and our thoughts are inconsistent with the truth of his character? He still opens his arms wide to us. And he not only gives us permission to feel what we feel and to mourn, he also calls us, invites us to bring our pain and our struggle to him. Lamentations is all about the heart-wrenching cries of a man of faith who brings his sorrow, his confusion, his pain, and his pleas to God. Jeremiah leads all who grieve on a journey from the heart-wrenching loss of grief to finding hope in the midst of sorrow. And the first thing Jeremiah does for us, he helps us to understand that grief is a process, not an event. You know, when you talk especially about the grief of losing someone that we love, grief doesn't end when the funeral is over with. In fact, that's usually just when the process is starting. In the five songs of lament, Jeremiah tells the story of all that Israel has suffered and all that they have lost. And he tells the story over and over again, seemingly going around and around in circles. And God is teaching us that grief is a prolonged process and it's not linear. You don't just keep moving forward to victory in Jesus' name, amen. You may feel like you're making progress one day, and then like a wave, the emotions just wash over your soul again. From one who truly understood the depths of grief, Jeremiah's lament actually reflects in many ways what psychologists have come to identify as the five stages of grief. The five stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And knowing the stages of grieving helps those who are grieving to understand why they're feeling the way they're feeling, and it also helps us to be more understanding and supportive of those who are grieving. It's important for us to understand that there is no timeline to move through the stages, and sometimes a person moves back and forth between the stages. And we need to give them the opportunity and the support and the love to do so. But grief generally begins with the denial stage. And we see that reflected in Jeremiah's first lament, where he expresses shock and disbelief over how Israel came to be destroyed. There's a sense of shock that comes over us in times of great suffering and loss. And it feels as though your life has been turned upside down. You feel like your whole world has fallen apart. And you sort of go into this state of shock and disbelief and numbness. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is the psychiatrist recognized for her studies in the five stages of grief, says this: denial helps us to survive the loss. In this stage, the world becomes meaningless and overwhelming. Meaningless and overwhelming. Life makes no sense. It's almost like you kind of disconnect from the world and things are going on around you, but they're going on without you. We are in a state of shock and denial. We go numb. We wonder why, how we could carry on, if we can carry on, why we should carry on. We try to find a way to simply survive, to simply get through each day. Denial and shock, she says, helps us to cope and make survival possible. Denial helps us to pace our feelings of grief, to pace our feelings of grief. There is a grace in denial. It's nature's way of letting in only as much pain as we can handle at the moment. Now, this woman is not a Christian, but she talks about the grace of denial and how it allows us to pace our pain so that we only let in the amount of pain that we... Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? And as you accept the reality of the loss and start to ask yourself questions, you are unknowingly, she says, beginning the healing process. You are becoming stronger as denial begins to fade. But in this denial stage, many people describe it as just feeling numb. They may even be unable to cry. They may feel as though this just can't be happening. This is not real. This must be a nightmare, and I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to wake up the next morning, and I'm going to find out that this was not real. Everything is going to go back to normal. But denial is an innate self-defense mechanism that God built into us that helps us slow down the overwhelming emotions that we're feeling so that we can deal with it as we are able. And this first stage of denial usually lasts a few weeks, although if a person is not grieving in a healthy way, they can get stuck in the denial stage and actually lose touch with reality. But when the shock begins to fade, all of the feelings that they were denying start to emerge. And the first emotion that people generally feel when they're coming out of that denial stage is anger. Anger. That's the second stage of grief. In fact, if you look at Jeremiah's second lament in Jeremiah chapter 2, it expresses a great deal of anger as the speaker rants against God's wrath in judging Israel. But as is typical of anger, it often skews our perspective so that we cannot see things clearly, such as the fact that God had warned Israel for 40 years, repent. Repent, and you can avoid judgment. But in anger, the speaker is blaming God for what has happened. But anger always looks, in grief, always looks for someone to blame for the terrible pain that we are experiencing. It's easier to feel anger than it is to feel pain. And so we have that strong feeling of anger that this is unjust, this is not right. And it's easier to feel and express that than it is to feel the deep pain of loss. Sometimes we may get angry at the person who died. How could they leave us? I remember when my father passed, my mother had just had carotid artery surgery and was in a very weakened condition. That was 10 years ago. And I remember we took her to the funeral home, and as we took her up to the casket, she wasn't very strong, so she couldn't speak, you know, very expressively. But I remember her saying, "Albert, how could you leave me now when I needed you most?" You know? And so sometimes there is that anger at the person who died. How could they leave us? Why didn't they go to the doctor sooner? Why didn't they take care of themselves? You know, that kind of blame. You may get mad at the doctors or the hospital. You know, if they had just done this or that, your loved one would still be here. And that's when you see a lot of times families will file all sorts of lawsuits and what have you. And sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's an expression of anger. You may get mad at yourself for things that you should have done or you shouldn't have done. And at this stage, it is typical for people to get angry at God. Why did you allow this to happen? Why didn't you heal our loved one? Why didn't you prevent them from having that accident? Why didn't you perform a miracle? Because, you know, have you ever noticed that we get angry with the people that love us most? Why? Because we know that they will stand with us even if we vent our anger at them. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's why we do that with God. And it is normal for people to get angry with God. So please, when there's someone grieving in your circle and they're angry at God, don't tell them, oh, you shouldn't be angry at God. I tell them something like this, you know what? Express your anger to God. His shoulders are big enough to bear it. You know, because they need to be able to express that pain and that bitterness of soul to God. It's normal for people during this stage of grief to question their faith, to question all the trust that they've put in God, to question His promises, and they try to reconcile what they believe about a loving, gracious, good, all-powerful God with their loss, with their pain, with their suffering, and it seems to contradict one another. It's okay to be angry with God. He understands your grief. Even Jesus, while suffering on the cross, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, certainly God understands your anger, and He forgives you. He understands the pain you're feeling. But just like Jesus turned His pain into a cry to God, turn your pain into a cry to God. He can use the anger you feel and your questioning, your faith, to help you grow stronger. The third stage of grief is called bargaining. And we see a glimpse of that at the end of Lamentations chapter 1, where the speaker says, if God's people are suffering, then make others suffer as well. Bargaining more generally in our life takes the form of, I'll do anything. I'll serve you. I'll go to church every day or some other pledge if only you will bring my loved one back to me. Why? Because we want life to go back to the way it was before. We want life to be normal again. And so we bargain. The fourth stage of grief is depression. After blaming and bargaining, we come face to face with the present reality. This has happened. There's no changing it. Life is not going to ever go back to the way that it was before. And so we go through this time of extreme sadness and depression as we have to let go of what was. Jeremiah's third and fourth laments are filled with the sorrow of depression, so severe that he actually feels it physically. And this stage of depression is marked by a sense of emptiness and sorrow that is deeper than anything we have ever imagined, and it lasts a very long time. At this stage, we may not feel like going anywhere. We may not feel like seeing or talking to anyone or participating in any of life's normal activities. And sometimes it feels as though the sorrow and emptiness will never go away. And though we may always feel an empty space in our heart for what was lost, eventually as we move through the grieving process, we will come to a place of healing that enables us to move forward. And this is known as the acceptance stage. We come to terms with the reality that our life is never going to return to the way that it was before. When we come to the acceptance stage, we begin to realize this is our new normal. And yes, we can live, and yes, we can know happiness, and yes, we can move forward. I like something C.S. Lewis said, and C.S. Lewis is a classic Christian author, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia and Mere Christianity and other classic Christian books. And he suffered the loss of his wife, and he compares loss to the amputation of a leg. He says, you don't ever get over the loss. You grieve it. You know it's not there. But when you accept that this is your new reality, you learn to walk again. You learn to walk again. And you begin to realize, he says, that God still has a plan for you, and you can see the beauty of life again. Hallelujah. Grief is painful. Grief is a process that God has wired into our mind and our emotions to help us cope with the overwhelming pain of loss. If you're grieving, give yourself time and permission to grieve, and don't rush the process. But with God's help, you can progress through the valley of the shadow of death to a place of healing. And I assure you, there will be green pastures again, and there will be still waters again for your soul. The second principle we see is that grieving with hope brings healing. When we invite God into the midst of our grief, we find hope and we experience healing. I like the way the King James Version renders verse 21. It says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." And it just makes it more emphatic that his remembering was intentional. It wasn't just casually, oh, this memory came to me. No, this I recall to mind. I intentionally remembered who God is. Jeremiah found hope in the midst of his grief by remembering who God is. He specifically remembered God's mercy, God's faithfulness, and God's goodness. And he was saying, even though I feel this way, it has not changed who I know God to be. So even though my heart is breaking, I choose to fix my mind upon God and to trust him. And even though you are grieving, remember God's mercies are new every morning. The word mercy is in this passage is the Hebrew word hesed, which speaks of God's covenant love towards his people. It speaks of God committing himself to us with a love that is steadfast and unchanging. And even though our circumstances have changed, God's love for us has not changed. And he is with us today, enabling us to make it through today. He will give us the mercy that we need to make it through today. You know, right now, as I'm going through a difficult time with my mother's declining health, the thing that God has impressed upon my heart through a song that he placed in my heart several weeks ago is one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking you for. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. And that's become my motto, one day at a time. And every day I wake up in the morning and I say, God, by your mercy, give me the strength to do what I have to do today. Because it's a lot, you know, I'm working full time and I'm taking care of my mother who is largely dependent on me. And so it's a lot. And to then the emotional aspect of it, of also seeing her declining health, it's not easy. But every day I have to trust, Lord, your mercy is going to be new for me today. You're going to give me what I need today to do what I have to do. And the same God who did that for Jeremiah and the same God who does it for me is the same God who will do it for you. He will show his compassion to you in new and fresh ways every single day, and he will give you what you need for that day. The second thing that Jeremiah remembered was God's faithfulness. And even though you're grieving, remember that God is faithful. God's faithfulness means that he is everything he says he is. He never changes, and he will do everything he says he will do because he cannot lie. And God's faithfulness means that he will never leave us. We can count on him to be there for us and to be everything we need him to be. God's faithfulness means that he will honor his promises. And one of those promises gives us great hope in the time of loss. And that is that this life is not the end. And for all of those who have trusted in Christ, we know that we will be reunited with our loved ones one day in his presence, never to part again. We will spend eternity together with him in heaven. Hallelujah. His promise is that our eternal home is heaven, where there is no more sickness, there is no more sorrow, there is no more death, there is no more grieving. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. And his promise is that I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. He will give you strength every single day to do what you need to do, to face what you need to face, and to get through what you need to get through. Thirdly, even though you're grieving, like Jeremiah, remember that God is good to those who trust or depend on him. Even when life is hard, God is still good. We may not be able to see the good in what has happened, but we can trust God's heart. God is good. We can trust that just as he has promised, he is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We can trust that even in the midst of the pain, God has a plan. He said, I know my plans toward you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Even in your pain, God still has a good plan for you. Church, grief is painful beyond words. Jeremiah even said it. He was like, I don't have the words. Grief is painful beyond words. And we will experience it in various degrees through our life. We don't only experience grief when we lose a loved one, when someone dies. We experience grief when we lose a job, when we lose a friend, when we lose a hope or a dream for the future, when we lose our health. There's so many things that can cause grief in varying degrees in our life. And grieving is a normal process to help us to cope with the loss that we are feeling, and a process that helps us move towards healing. Give yourself permission to grieve and be patient with yourself. It takes time. In fact, the grieving process often takes 1 to 2 years for you to feel yourself again, so to speak. But in the midst of your grief, do what Jeremiah did. Recall to mind who God is. That's where you're going to find hope. Now, if you just let your mind run, it will automatically dwell on the pain and the suffering that you are feeling. But you have to make a conscious choice. Jeremiah said, this I recall to mind. You have to make a conscious choice to remember who God is. How do we make that conscious choice? By reading his word, by reading an uplifting devotional, by being in church, by listening to worship music, by surrounding yourself with faith-filled, encouraging, compassionate people so that our mind and our heart is fixed upon God. As you fill your life with reminders of who God is, it will help you to find hope in the midst of your sorrow. Because as believers, we sorrow, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Would you bow your heads with me? For those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, if you're grieving, I want to encourage you tonight to make a commitment to recall to mind who God is and find hope in Him. To do that on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis, this I recall to mind. Lord, I'm going to fix my mind and my heart upon You and remember who You are. Because even in my pain, You remain the same. You have not changed. And for all of us, I want us to commit to be a healing community that will love, support, encourage, and pray for those who are grieving, because one day it will be us who will need the presence of a healing community. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before You right now, Lord God, and we just lift into Your presence every person who is grieving. Father, we know that their pain, Lord God, feels as if their heart has been shattered in countless pieces, Lord, that can never be put back together again. But You understand the depth of pain in their heart. And You are near to those who are brokenhearted. Let Your presence be ever so near to them right now. And Father, I pray their heart will be encouraged tonight by Your word to make an intentional commitment to fix their minds upon You, to remember, to recall to mind who You are, Lord God, to remember Your mercy, to remember Your faithfulness, to remember Your goodness, Lord God, because that has not changed no matter how their circumstances have changed. Father, we pray that You would just stir them by the Spirit in their inner man to make that commitment to fix their minds upon You. And Father, for all of us, we pray that You would help us, Lord God, to have a heart of mercy, a heart of compassion towards those that are grieving. We pray, Lord God, that You would help us, Lord, to be a healing community that can provide, Lord God, the support and the grace that they need as they walk through this dark valley, so that they might find healing and restoration in You. Help us to be instruments of Your mercy and of Your grace in their lives, Lord God. Father, we commit ourselves to You today. Do this work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again.